from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Oh, I'm looking forward to the 10 o'clock hour. I ain't gonna lie to you. One of my favorite times of the day is when my main man, Matt Markovitz, comes in. Good morning to you, Ursula.
Good morning, G. Just as we do every day, we invite you to text us on our state roofing text line, 888-973-5476, 888-973-CHIRO. Just a reminder that you are so much a part of our show, so we love your feedback and your input and your insights. Also, check us out on the CHIRO Radio app if you want to see us on video or, of course, on MyNorthwest.com. But right now,
what's new at 10?
And we are bringing on our reporter, Matt Markovitz, who joins us with updates from the state legislature. But I want to ask about something first that I just heard in Heather's newscast. The governor visiting this homeless encampment in the South Park neighborhood. This is an encampment that we had focused on in our earlier months of our show.
Two years ago, it was rated the number one most hostile camp in the city of Seattle.
There you go. And that was one of the reasons, because we talked about there was a chop shop there, and neighbors and businesses around there were saying, you know, there's a lot of not good things happening.
I've been to it many times. Camp. It's been there. It's been cleared out before. This is a camp that's on the right underneath the First South Bridge, on the south end of the bridge there. You can't quite see when you drive over, but it's underneath there. Hostel camp, a lot of stuff goes on there. It's been there for years. It's been a problematic because it's on state property. It's on county. Part of it's on county property, city property. It's a whole mess. It's a big mess.
So the governor visited, and what happened?
Well, see, the governor, I got to set this up because there's something interesting about all this, what he's doing and how it may affect CHIRO News Radio, believe it or not. So yesterday, you know, we all talk about the $4 billion plan that he's pushing.
Yep.
So he went there yesterday basically as a photo op to promote his plan. But the behind the scenes, here's what's been was going on. The day before, the Senate basically said, we're going to give you $625 million for housing, not $4 billion. He wasn't happy with that. When we talked about that on the air yesterday morning at 7:15, we actually played a soundbite that he responded to a month earlier from the Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm.
that he got angered about and called the radio station here and got on the air.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about it again, that, you know, he may not have the support with the Democrats in the House.
Yep.
So he doesn't have any schedule. He had nothing scheduled yesterday. Zero. We know how this is how it works. This is how the onion. I won't say the sausage anymore, but the, how you peel back the onion about this, like, about how news is covered. We have a schedule. We know where he's going. He's the governor. They make it known. He had nothing on his schedule.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, our Nicole Jennings is out there. She goes out to the camp just to cover the camp that's being cleaned up. It's a huge camp. And catches word that from WashDOT people that the governor is going to show up in 45 minutes. No notice. We didn't get a notice. I didn't get a notice. I called other media people after this happened. Some people got notices. Some people didn't. From WashDOT, not the governor's office, but from WashDOT. Now, from the head of the communications of WashDOT, the governor's office. I'm glad I could talk about this in this format, not on a newscast, because I don't have the time. But this is kind of what's happening now. Did the governor do selected media people to go out to his conference yesterday? He invited the TV people. They invited the TV people. No, other media didn't show up. I know that another radio station, Como Radio, didn't, or Northwest News Radio didn't show up. But some other people, we didn't get notified. So we're following up. Why? Because is the governor upset that we've been talking about, very critical of his housing plan here? This could be a factor in what happened yesterday. And thank goodness Nicole Jennings was already out there and happened to catch the governor. Otherwise, we would have not been known about it. So that's a little bit behind the scenes. So what did he do yesterday? He talked about his plan, but he also got upset at he basically chastised the Senate for not giving him enough money.
That's one of my concerns about the Senate proposal. I don't see it, how we're going to do rapid housing. They're doing hundreds of millions of dollars less than we did last year. We did over $800 million in the state of Washington last year, and the Senate has proposed to do hundreds of millions of dollars less than that.
And I'm going to play one more thing. He basically $625 million rather than $4 billion. That's what the Senate gave him.
But, there's a big difference between the two.
So, but he said this, and I thought this was, to me, the most interesting thing he said out there that was new. Everything else was, it's like a stump speech now for him on housing. He said this.
And what I am asking the legislators to do is listen to the people. Let the people vote. This would go to a vote of the people. What's wrong with letting Washington citizens vote on this and decide if they want to accept these encampments or not?
And he's confident that a vote statewide, people would pass it. And he's basically asking to go to a vote of the people. Now, at the same time, this parallels with the pursuit bill, because remember, they wouldn't put the pursuit bill to a vote of the floor of the House and stuff like that. So, again, people are asking, let's just vote on this. You know, he wants the people to vote on this now. He's basically he's basically saying to the legislature, I want you to do what you didn't do with the pursuit bill. Remember, they didn't put it to a vote.
Yeah.
And he goes, I want you to put this to a vote of all the people. Now, he's basically to his fellow Democrats saying, I think you're not going to push what I really want, my number one item here. So I'm just going to start making an appeal. So use this whole little impromptu thing out as a photo op to promote his agenda.
I'm glad you're calling it out for what it is.
I wanted to take the opportunity to share with the listeners how everything happens behind the scenes and how the media covers certain things and how there can be selective media. We were definitely not told that this was happening.
Okay. So you think, I just want to make sure I got this right, you think that with Cairo Radio, you think the governor's office was selective, they were selective in letting us know?
We did not know. They notified other people.
I know that we didn't know, but do you think that they did that on purpose with Cairo?
Yes.
I'm believing that. You know, I don't want to say that, but I'm believing that now, that there is selective notification because of how certain media covers a thing. And I've been presenting it straightforward about this $4 billion bill, at least in my segments, and the talk shows have been maybe critical about it. But, you know, what's happening right this moment.
I would love to do an informal poll, starting with you, G. Would you want this to go to the vote of the people?
The $4 billion.
Yeah. Governor's $4 billion plan.
Yes. For sure.
Versus having it decided by the state legislature.
Yes. I like to go for the people to make that decision. And I think the bulk of the votes are going to come from where anyways, right?
King County. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's where the bulk of the money comes from.
And I'm going to say that me, as a King County voter, I will say again, and I know that the governor or the governor's people listen. I think they need to do a much better job of saying what exactly it is that $4 billion is going to go toward and how it is different from what money has already been spent. And even the Senate saying 600. So how did they come up with that figure and what's that for?
Yeah, it could be arbitrary. Yes. I mean, it's this is amount. They're weighing everything else. You know, they're weighing. They also talked about. Get this. They're going to build a $650 million hospital to take care of people who are in the criminal justice system who are incompetent. And we've been talking about the jails having that. Well, they basically put in their budget $650 million for a hospital on the Western State campus to do that. So they're balancing everything out, and they felt that $625 million is what we can afford this year. I have a segue into the pursuit stuff if you want to talk about that. You
know? Okay, so yeah, what's the latest on that?
Well, kind of talking about how the governor wants to put this to a vote of the people. Well, the Republicans want the House to put the pursuit bill to a vote of the people, to the vote of the House as well. And they're really pressuring, the Republicans said yesterday, they're really pressuring the lawmakers to do it. This is J.T. Wilcox, who's the head of all the Republicans in the House, talking about putting it to a vote of the House floor for basically a second time.
If we reach the end of that road and they've ignored every single opportunity to bring it up for a floor vote, then darn right, we're going to offer every member of their caucus an opportunity to vote on whether or not we bring it up to the floor. And they deserve that.
And he basically wants to call out all the Democrats who don't want to put it to a vote the floor. It's kind of a parallel thing right there. And then yesterday, I'm glad you had the former sheriff on, right? Just a while ago with the Washington State Police Chiefs and the Sheriff's Association.
Steve Strand.
Yeah. Steve Strand, they put out a long list of reasons that need to be – things that need to be added to the pursuit bill that don't include – like, I did not know that if you are involved in a deadly collision and someone dies in that collision and then that person flees, under the current pursuit bill, they can't chase that person. They added that. There's some huge elements there that we expect.
Wait. That's criminal.
I know, and I'm gonna.
Are you sure about that? Because that's criminal, right?
I got in a little bit late here, and I'm sorry. I have to stall here for a second to pull up the email.
I would really like to have some clarification on that one, because I can't imagine that if someone is involved in a deadly hit and run and they are fleeing, that law enforcement
is. I was surprised too. I was going to, behind the scenes,
I don't know about
our
that.
Printer's not working, so I was going to print it up and give it to you, but I can't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, why don't you come back and confirm it for us? Because as G said, that seems outrageous. I mean, beyond outrageous. But in any case, JT Wilcox wants to have everyone on the record, because this seems to be a bipartisan, something that has bipartisan support, but yet it's still so hard to get something passed out of the state legislature.
Well, it does have bipartisan support. Originally, 20 Republicans, 20 Democrats signed on. And now the whole pursuit bill lies with the House Democrats, and whether or not they're going to bring it to a vote again. So there's pressure. There's pressure to do that. You know, I can't pull. I'm going to. If you give me a minute, I can go do that.
Well, let's move on to something else.
Yeah. Should you be able to get your guns back after beating your wife and threatening her with a pistol? What's going on with that?
Yeah. How about that? So what? There is a bill right now that. It's called a gun restoration.
Okay.
What would happen is that they would add a long list of crimes where they can take away your gun. Like you're accused of it. Like domestic violence is a big one. Harassment. But there's also DUI, animal cruelty. If you're accused of animal cruelty, they can take your guns, whether you used a gun or not in part of that charge. And then allowing the restoration back. So a lot of people testified about because of, you know, they were victims of domestic violence. I mean, rather than me talk about it, let me just play this little bit about her telling her story.
In 2010, my then husband beat and strangled me unconscious as I was packing to move out. He used a gun to dissuade me from calling 911. I called anyway. A year later, without notice to me, he was permitted the restoration of his 24 firearms. He was a former police officer. Within months of the return of these guns, he beat and then shot me at close range with his 45 caliber pistol. They took 2 weeks to remove the 23 other firearms.
So she's talking about how it took so long to remove firearms after they gave them back to her, after he shot her again. And this bill would also allow prosecutors to notify victims of when that actually happens. Right now, they don't get notified. But it's the DUI element that really had a lot of people questioning, and it was very debated about. Here's Amy Friedman from the King County Prosecutor's Traffic Office talking about, she prosecutes DUIs.
Because of the cases that I see every day, I know that a firearm prohibitor is necessary with a person who has multiple impaired driving offenses. Study after study has shown, and that is a correlation between alcohol abuse and future gun violence, including suicide.
So if you get accused of a DUI, not convicted, just even accused of a DUI, should your guns be taken away from you? Even though obviously there was a DUI doesn't involve in a gun.
Well, when you get accused and then you go to court for it, and you either beat the case or it is dropped from and not being a DUI, right?
Right.
So I think that if
you get your guns back, but while you're being accused. Sorry, Mr. G, we're going to have to take all your guns.
I'm fine with that.
That's also not an automatic process, correct? You actually have to appear before a judge, and a prosecutor has to make a case that here is why this person who is accused of this crime should not have their gun while their case is being decided, yes?
Yes, that's correct. But right now, this, you know, DUI, animal cruelty, all these other crimes, domestic violence, they're not on the list of taking away a gun right away. There's ERPOs about, I should go back into domestic violence. There's a lot of things with that. But all these other sides. You know, all these other crimes that are not gun-related, they can take your firearms.
I don't think that I don't think there's enough people, enough staff to go out there for everyone that is charged with DUI that they're going to be coming, knocking on your door, getting your guns. I think, actually, what Chef says, you're going to have to appear in court, and there's going to have to be a reason why you should have your guns taken away. And if that's the case, I'm still all for it. If the prosecutor is able to say to the judge, hey, Billy Joe here this is the reason why he's got this many guns, and I want a reason as to why his gun should be taken, I'm okay with that. Cool. And then if he goes and he beats the case and does what he's supposed to do, he gets his gun back. Good. Mm-hmm. Good.
So I just want to understand, though, what is the bill? What would the bill change?
It would add all these crimes.
Yeah.
And like what Chef said, you know, they have to make a case to take away your guns. It's more, I guess what the gun advocates would say, these are more reasons why you're taking away our guns, which we have the right to own. Even though I'm suspected of DUI, you know, you're taking away my guns. It also, which is the important part, notifies any victim of any of these crimes that if they get convicted, that there's a restoration of their guns. They're going to get their guns back eventually.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, they don't have that right now. So that's the bill that's there. Now, this was really close. It barely passed the House by just a few votes. Mm. So there's a lot of upset people about why we should not have such a law.
Do we have a history in the state of people actually coming to take away your guns?
Absolutely. I mean, like, well, legally, ERPOs, I mean, where the court orders it, yes. Yes, that happens daily.
Right. That means you've done something wrong.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, an extreme risk protection order, that's what an ERPO is. Right. And that is something that is determined in the court after you are deemed danger to yourself
but if
or
you're
others.
If you're a law-abiding citizen and you mind your business and you do what you're supposed to do, is anyone coming for your guns?
No.
Okay. That's all I'll hear. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you, brother.
I didn't get you upset. Sorry about not having that list. I'll get it to you in a second. Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So
I'm just quiet today.
I feel like I wasn't quite 100%. You can tell by my voice I'm not 100% right there.
Okay. You're great. Appreciate you.
Thanks, Matt. Hey, coming up next, check this out. Cameras caught drivers illegally using the Seattle bus lanes. We're going to tell you how many times they caught them in 2022. And we're also going to ask, are you okay with them getting tickets? We do all that next. Gina Schlow.
G and Ursula Show. Happy Wednesday to all of you. And it's been a year since Seattle launched its camera pilot program to catch drivers who are illegally using bus lanes and blocking intersections. And it turns out that 110,000 drivers were caught. Or at least those tickets were handed out 110,000 times just in the past year. Basically, they had cameras rolling in five different locations, and they found that the most bus lane violations were at Aurora Avenue North and Gaylor, and then 3rd and James Street there in downtown Seattle came in second. So I guess the question, first of all, would be, do you think this is a good way to do it? Get the cameras to catch drivers, because it is a big deal to block those or illegally use those bus lanes.
Yep. Give them all tickets. 110,000 times they spotted someone in 2022. You need to send out 110,000 tickets. Guess what's going to happen? Bet you're going to learn today. I talk about one place I go to all the time, which, by the way, I was really upset the other day, but I won't even bring that up. When I drive down to Faircrest, I go to Faircrest every single day to go to my cryotherapy appointment. And when I go to Faircrest, I already know. 25 miles an hour. Uh-huh. I know better. When you start talking about 3rd and James, which that's a big one, yep. Those bus lanes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, I didn't know. Oh, you're going to find out. You're going to find out. Because that's the number one thing you say, right? When you get in those bus lanes, you get caught. What do you say, Ursula? Oh, I had no idea.
There have been a few times I have been caught, and I, especially downtown. On occasion, there are some changes that I wasn't aware of, and on occasion, but here's the good news. You actually get a warning for the first violation. So about 85 of those have been issued. And then 26,000 people actually have been issued the $75 tickets, which don't go on your driving record. So even though the camera's caught, I mean, they're trying to take a lighter approach. But I think there are some people who think, why even do that? I think Chef is one of those in the this isn't a big deal category.
Well, I don't want these expanded around the state. Let me say you one example. So all along Highway 99 in Snohomish County, two of the lanes on the highway are strictly bus lane and right turn only lanes. The vast majority of the day, including rush hour, there is not a single bus in sight. And yet you have two lanes sitting open all the time. Now, they're open right now for everyone to use because they're building light rail down the middle of Highway 99. So you can use them, but they should be open, I think, generally at all times. And I understand we want our rapid rides to go through really fast. But I'd prefer prioritizing the tens of thousands of people who use the road all the time rather than the like 100 or 200 who are on the three buses that go through. My issue also with this is the cost. So a city council report found that I think these cameras cost $48,000 a year to operate. Now, when it comes to the blocking the box, they've got four cameras operating at a cost of $192,000 a year. You know how much they've collected in revenue from the 58 tickets that they've issued in 6 months or 8 months? $3,600. So we're talking about, what, $178,000 for these things to operate to catch 58 people for blocking
the
box.
Wait. Where did you get the 58 figure? And the reason I asked that, Chef, but just because I'm looking at the one in particular in Seattle, and they talked about raising $825,000.
That's for the bus lane violations. And still, even if you do the math on the number of cameras and the number of citations and tickets that are being issued, these things cost way more to operate than they bring in revenue.
Okay.
And I guess it comes down to a question of, do you want to spend the money to try and discourage people from doing this?
No.
I don't know how much of a problem it is. No. I mean, if we're only catching 58 people blocking the box, okay. Most people just duck in and out of the bus lanes. I don't want these expanded everywhere.
You know, since COVID, folks done lost their damn minds. And that's the problem. I'm tired of being, y'all act like you do what you want. People are running through stoplights all the time. I know y'all see them out there. When I was out there driving for DoorDash, y'all don't want to stop for lights. Y'all just want to do whatever you want. Let's send these tickets out, slap them on there, put more cameras around there. And no warning. You don't need a warning. There's your warning. About $110, $160. Bet you won't do it again. If you guys hear, if you hear it in my voice, I'm tired. I'm tired of being on these roads. Ever since COVID, understand me, y'all. I'm on the road literally at least an hour each way, and then I got all kinds of stuff going on during the day. I'm on the roads all the time. Y'all folks, some of y'all folks out here have lost your mind. Post-pandemic, y'all don't want to get together? Slap them tickets on y'all, because it's the only way y'all gonna learn. I'm in my 40s. I'm older now. I'm not in my 20s. I can't move like I used to. My neck ain't as good as I used to. My hand-eye coordination ain't good. I'm mad right now. I'll give these folks tickets. And if you don't pay your tickets, suspend the license. Do it all.
I would cite Dave in Snohomish County, who says one of his work trucks got a ticket issued because they were using the bus lane to take a right in downtown Seattle, which is not against the law. And yet he still got a ticket for it. There are issues with these. A lot of us don't have the time to try and fight this stuff in court. It's just, okay, I'm going to suck it up and pay it because the camera says I did it.
But would you agree, though? Would you agree? Because Alex Peterson, Seattle City Councilman, my district,
So proud of him.
I know. Well, he's leaving. So he said, if you can save one life with these tickets, then it's worth it. And I'm going to go with G on this. I'm going to agree, even though I've been caught on occasion. Thankfully, they do have that grace period. They give you one. But I would also, in addition to this, also look at the areas where, hey, you know what? The cameras don't make sense here. There aren't many violators. You're not catching people. And, you know, you talked about some of the places where, okay, it's not a huge problem. And maybe you're creating more of a problem by making these areas off limits. You know what I'm saying? Like, put it where it's most necessary based on the data that you have. Make it data driven.
When are we having the conversation about if it just saves one life when it comes to police pursuits? Because that's what changing the law was all about. Right. Saving one and dozens of lives.
I ain't talking about nothing else but folks on these roads. I want all my brothers and sisters that do driving for a living. You guys listen to the show. You're out there driving Uber, rideshare, all of y'all. If you're listening right now, text in and tell me how nuts it is on those roads. It's crazy out here.
It is.
Folks have lost their mind.
I was blaming a loved one this weekend when we almost got hit 3 times just going to the furniture store. And I think it is just partly because everyone is driving crazy.
Yeah. Good stuff. Hey, coming up next on the G and Ursa Show, we're going to do scenarios. Check this out. What are your thoughts on refurbishing an engagement ring? We do that next. G and Ursa. Should condoms be free? Well, that's going to be an agree to disagree. That's one of the topics. But right now, let's get two scenarios.
Here we go, yo. Here we go, yo. So what's the scenario?
I need to know what to do in this situation. So I proposed to my girlfriend last weekend, did everything right. I asked her dad ahead of time, and I got his blessing. Her parents were excited for us. I thought everything was perfect. But when we told my family about it, my mom wanted to see the ring. We showed her, and she recognized it as the same one that I had for my ex-fiance. My mom loves my new fiance, and she pulled me aside and told me it was in poor taste and bad luck to reuse the ring I bought for another woman. I didn't see anything wrong with it. It's $9,000. And she called off the wedding and gave it back. Thank you, by the way. What was I supposed to do with it? My new fiance loves the ring and has been showing it to everyone and posting it all over social media. My mom won't let it go. She even told me that at the very least, I need to tell my new fiance about it. I refused. I told her to stay out of it. She said that if I don't tell her, she will. I said, it's none of your business. I love my mom, and we always have had a great relationship, but this is not working for me. What do you guys think that I should do? 888-973-5476 is State Roofing text line. Ursula, you have to bet first.
Ooh, this could be sticky, but first of all, it sounds like your new fiance loves it, so that's not the issue. But if mom does say, and it's really not mom's place, but you can't control mom. So if mom does blurt it out, okay, if I'm the fiance now and I find out that it was something that was intended for someone else and the person I'm about to marry didn't let me know that, then I have to say I would feel bad about it. So even though it's a perfectly good ring, mom is superstitious. I don't know if the new fiance would feel the same way. I think honesty is always the best policy. So now it's too late because he already gave the ring. But I would try to control the message because mom may blurt it out later. And I would let her know.
Chef, real quick, let me just say this. If you're listening right now, and some of you guys are like, wow, mom, can't believe you do that. Or my mom would never do that. I have a question for you. Would your mom be the mom to do something like this? Because I'm telling you now, This is what I want to tell you guys. I don't know if she's listening right now. My mama, oh my goodness, she would be the first one. She wouldn't even hold it back. She would say, oh, this ring looks familiar. Oh, baby, he didn't gave you the same ring. My yep. mom would destroy me just like that and have no problem with it. Now, in this case, hey, fam, I get it. You spent $9,000
yes.
You and you got that ring
yes.
and now she loves it. This is what you do. You go to your grave with this. And if your mom try to bust you out, you go against your mom and say your mom is lying. There you go.
You had me until that last part.
No. What are you talking about? If mama wants to not mind her own business and get in my new relationship, then hey, mama, guess what you are to me? Yeah. We're not doing
see,
this.
Then you're encouraging this person. You're suggesting this person should lie, you know, lie, further the lie. You know,
it's
do you believe,
the,
do you believe in lying by
it's
omission?
It's not the same ring.
It is the same
ring. It said it was refurbished.
It's kind of like that person who tried to give me a negligee that was not meant for me.
I don't know if you caught that on the cameras, but G. Scott is literally spitting his tea out right now.
I almost made G. choke. I've shared that story before.
You did. I just wasn't ready for it. I was not.
Something about opening that package and realizing this wasn't initially for me.
God, dog, I was not ready.
And then amplify that by making it this engagement ring.
Okay, well,
I would try to control the message now and say something before mom does, because mom will. Mom's going to.
Sorry, chef. What you got, bro?
Oh, no. This is a no-win. I'm leaving you guys with this one. Because while I generally support people making smart financial decisions about getting married and engaged and saving some money... Quick note, it's not a $9,000 ring, because otherwise you could sell it for $9,000 and buy a new one. It's actually maybe worth $500. You just bought a price tag for your former fiance and you're transferring that over. Don't lie to her. I'm done.
Well, I like the efficiency. I'm a fan for this couple. And if the future bride is happy with the ring, let it be. And if this point at this point, whether she knows about the history of it all, whether or not, I feel like it's too late to turn back. So I feel like keep the jewelry and put it to good use.
Till you use me up.
And if mama ain't happy about it, maybe just go tell her she might be feeding for her own ring she wanted by herself. Keep out of that business. It's their life they want to live.
Good stuff. Hey, Lance in Manchester, what's wrong with you? Lance just texts in and says, G's mom sees the ring and says, man, haven't you already given this ring to the last two wives? That's cold-blooded, Lance. And Ernie and Kent, I am...
That's a man of wisdom. What did Ernie say?
I'm surprised and I'm going to agree with mom. I shocked myself, LOL. He has to let his girlfriend know. No, you don't.
Okay, Brad,
don't do it.
Rob, our friend who's the retired Puyallup police officer, says, tell the fiance and ask her what she wants to do. That is the most logical thing to do.
No.
If she doesn't want it because of the ring's history, then you get another one.
Hey,
I just lost that message. Yes.
I don't suggest this, but this is only another question before we get out of there. Have you ever told a lie so good that you believed it, and it was the truth? This is what you got to do, player.
You gotta
lie so hard on this that you believe it.
No, I wouldn't suggest it in that situation. But the first thing that popped to my mind when you asked that question was, yeah, on those occasions when I've had a really really big meal and then I get on the scale and I find those really creative ways to take off
the corner of the scale. Hey, I've done the corner of the scale. And, yeah. Hold on, let me shift my weight to the left side. This because the right side is my heavy side.
Exactly. I am convinced that turning the scale a certain direction helps.
At this angle, I'm 5 pounds less.
All right, let's get out of here. Coming up next, should condoms be free? It comes up in Agree to Disagree next. Gene Ursula.
Good getting used. Oh, you just keep on using me. Till you use me up.